Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
There's a fine line between mothering and smothering.
My parents are always there for me.
You know, he wanted to pass his faith on to you, and you've rejected it.
Nip it in the bud!
You're doing a great job.
One day they're babies, the next thing you know, they're off on their own.
I'm Jim Burns. If you have a strong-willed child in your home, well, you know how challenging it can be to deal with the constant battles with your son or with your daughter. Well, sadly, though, there's another part of this equation that too many parents of strong-willed children fail to recognize, and that's the fact that these parents often find themselves at odds with each other because of the divisiveness their strong-willed children can bring. Well, during the next half hour, I want to talk to you about ways couples can keep from burning out on each other as a result of dealing with strong-willed children, as well as some very practical help to parents of strong-willed children. So keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, you can become a fan of APU on Facebook and watch videos and learn about upcoming events and read up on current students' experiences as well. Facebook.com/Azusa Pacific is where you can find that information. Facebook.com/Homeward is where you can also go right to the Homeward Center for Youth and Family online, and we encourage you to check us out on social media. Today on the program, part two of a continuing conversation with Dr. Kim Storm and his wife, Anne. We're talking about some help for parents of strong-willed children. And if you have a strong-willed child like the Storms did, I mean, Kim's a therapist for crying out loud. They still had problems with a strong-willed child. It's a great story. Here's part two. Begins right now with Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two of the topic, Good News for Parents of a Strong-Willed Child. We have Dr. Kim Storm with us and Anne Storm, who know this personally because of their son Taylor being a real strong-willed child. And yet I know that Taylor today, as a 17-year-old, is doing great and glorious things. So there is great hope. Tell us a little bit about Taylor. To kind of start from birth, as we talked a little bit about yesterday, but you know, he started in crib. You could tell he was strong-willed and kind of move through his 17 years.
Well, he was strong-willed right away and fought with us on a lot of different things. And I would say we struggled with him probably until he was about 7 years old. It's almost like the child has been switched now. I mean, he's 17. He is an absolute joy. And now the teenage years are so easy. He's respectful. He's sweet. He's fun. And he knows what's expected of him. He's very well-liked. And I think that's kind of your job as a parent, is to teach them how to be liked by other people. Mm. And it makes me very sad when I see other kids that have not been disciplined. It's not their fault, but other people don't like them. Right. And even I don't like some of these kids. I think sure. It's not your fault, but you never learned how to relate to other people and how to, you know, get strokes from other people or to be respectful to other people. And then they grow up not getting the affirmation. So Taylor's just very, very fun. I'd say now our greatest sadness is he'll be gone in a year.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
But he's just a joyful teenager.
Now, and yet when he was 5, 6, and 7, you probably wouldn't have called him joyful. It was a difficult task.
Yeah, it was just a lot of hard work.
Right, and moments of joy, I'm sure.
Yeah, there are moments of joy. There's some real sweet times, but I would just say when he was constantly opposing us or fighting us, you know, it was just a ton of work all the time to follow through.
Today, as we talk about good news for parents of a strong-willed child, one of the things I need to also say is that sometimes it doesn't work out this way. I mean, sometimes there's a teenager who's still a strong-willed and you're still buttoned up. What kind of hope would you give to that person who perhaps has a preteen or a teenager and says, you know what, it didn't change for us. It's still a fight. It's still a struggle.
Well, I think that there are children who go through life kind of against and who struggle with authority and who aren't able to regulate their own emotions, aren't able to regulate their behaviors. I think that the hope is that over time, society helps out in this. You know, sometimes society sets the boundaries when we can't. And there's a reality that certain kids have to face. You know, they come up against those kind of authority figures that, you know, are going to be a kind of a splash of cold water in their face, that the world isn't going to be as kind as the family that they came from. And I think in a way, as a family, that's what our goal is, to help shape them so they can understand that reality in society is going to be harder.
Yeah.
And so,
so it's really never too late to keep working on this.
Right.
No.
And and there is hope. And I do see this. I mean, again, you want to start as early as you can, not breaking their spirit, but helping them understand the whole process, that there's some consequences to this kind of behavior as well.
That's
and
right.
yet I've often wondered if it isn't the fact that many of the strong-willed kids who have this strong will and then get it harnessed and going in a good direction aren't the presidents of corporations and the presidents of the United States and, you know, these kind of people.
Well, we certainly have seen that with Taylor in his sporting events. He has incredible tenacity. He will stick with things. He will plow through things and he will just get to the end of it. So.
Yeah.
That
well,
kind of energy.
It really is a spiritual theme that says, you know, God will turn our weaknesses into our strength.
Yes.
And strong-willed can be a weakness or it can be a great strength.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the phrases, Anne, that when we were talking on the phone the other day, you said, and I just picked up on it, no correction without connection. I'm going to use that so many times because I just think that is so key. It seems like that is kind of a key in a theme when you're working with a strong-willed child, really when you're working with any child. Help us understand that particular phrase, no correction without connection.
Well, I got this from Townsend and Cloud, but it's from one of probably Boundaries with Kids. It was very helpful to me, and I realized I didn't always do this well because how I felt when I was in a power struggle with Taylor is I'd get so exasperated I wanted to leave, and I didn't want to be around him anymore. And sometimes, a couple times, because I wasn't very smart at the time, I drove away, and I realized I had a cell phone, and he called me, and it made him more insecure. He's already in trouble. He's already doubting the connection. And then for me to remove myself, to withdraw myself, made him more insecure. Yeah. Now, to go back and to face him and to stay in there and say, honey, I love you, but we're still going to follow through with this, it's counterintuitive because you know, you're bugged by him, you're ticked at him, and you don't want to really be around him. But that's where you've got to suspend your own needs and think, what does he need? He still needs the discipline, but he still needs me to reassure him, you know, I love you, but we're going to finish this out, you know, and not to leave, not to withdraw.
Talk about the idea. You said suspend your own needs. Talk about that for a minute.
I think there's just so many places that we have to suspend our own needs in parenting. I suspend my own needs a lot of times for him to like me, you know, and it was so funny. It helps being married to a shrink. But there, Kim would come home and he says, how come he's not following through on his discipline? I said, well, we're kind of arguing. What are you arguing about? He told me I'm not a good mother. And he goes, you're arguing with a five-year-old on whether you're a good mother or not? And I thought, okay, I guess this is dumb. But it's like, why am I defending myself? And Taylor knew exactly where to target in and get my weak spot. And so I thought, you know, so just let go of those things that they need discipline. And again, it's the thing, are you going to be embarrassed because you're at your friend's house and you have to take your son home? Yeah, so what? Be embarrassed. They need the discipline. So I think there's just a lot of ways. When you want to punish and you shouldn't, you know, suspend that need.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Kim just has a great line. Is this out of your need or out of their need?
It's a great phrase. Connection. How do you connect with a kid when they really are somebody that, at least at this point, you don't really like?
I think that's really tough because you need to connect with them in Dr. Pollack's book, Real Boys. He talks about the issue in our society that boys need more connection now than ever. And I think that, especially with my son Taylor, the connection oftentimes was physical. How to connect with him and wrestle with him and be close to him. Sometimes that is the only mode that you have because they're not listening to you. So be involved in their world. Get down on their level. Be able to interact with them and be amazed by what they see as amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes you get tired of just yelling or talking or disciplining verbally. Being connected to them is probably what they need because they have this large desire to feel the world and to feel boundaries, to feel that they are valuable and important in your life.
Right. They really want that and they need that. I have a friend who's a pastor up in the state of Oregon and struggled with a strong-willed child. And actually the child was saying, I don't want to go to church anymore and I don't like church and it's boring and you're boring and, you know, pretty tough for the pastor. And you know what he did is he said, I need to connect with him and I'm not connecting. So he got season tickets to the University of Oregon's basketball. The kid loved basketball. And he started taking him to these basketball games and then they started playing most every day after school, some basketball. And didn't talk about God, didn't lecture him, just played basketball. One day, several months later, his son said, hey, Dad, I really kind of want to be, you know, recommitted to God. What would that take?
Oh, wow.
He said the score was like 12 to 10. They were playing to 20. He said, when the game's over, we'll talk. One of the hardest things. Played the game. Played as hard as he could. They sat down on the basketball and, you know, had this conversation. It was a real connection time. And I think that's the kind of thing you're talking about, Kim and Ann, is that there are times when we need to be in relationships with our kids connect with them so that the correction will be a little bit easier.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not always easy.
Boy, the word intentionality keeps coming back around on Homeward Broadcasts. And as you heard Dr. Jim Burns there just a moment ago sharing that story, it's a reminder that we as parents, even regardless of what the season is with our kids, I mean, if we're going through a strong-willed season, going through kind of a moody and sullen season, whatever the challenge that you're facing as a parent, if you are intentional, you have a much better chance of helping your children than if you just kind of parent by circumstance and chance. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, Dr. Jim Burns talking with Dr. Kim Storm and his wife Ann about help for parents of strong-willed children. Jim has written a book called Confident Parenting that will help give you the confidence to stand up to those challenges that a strong-willed child can bring. There's no question about it. It's not always easy to have conflict with your strong-willed child. Confident Parenting will give you the tools that you need to be that confident parent that your kids need. And you can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the Ministry of Homeward, and we're grateful for that financial support. For more information, go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Your four-year-old daughter said that? To your face?
My mom raised seven of us, and I don't think we ever were as disrespectful to her as Jenna was to me this morning.
And you've got two teenagers at home, too.
Yeah, and they're not much better.
Mary, I am so sorry.
Well, don't be, Lee. You know why? Because I don't even care anymore.
Maybe you're living with an out-of-control teenager or an unruly toddler. Well, regardless of your situation, I want to challenge you to keep believing in your kids and to hang in there with them. Many kids suffer from a poor self-image, and that may be a source of your frustration with your child. That's why it's important for you to keep on affirming them, keep on praising them, keep on believing in the person they can become. It's been said that the difference between a child making it in life and not making it is just one adult who unconditionally believes in them. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, challenging you to be that adult in the life of your kids. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about good news for parents of strong-willed children. We have Dr. Kim Storm and Ann Storm, who not only has a strong-willed child, but just has great advice. This is day two, and I think we could go to day three, four, and five, and I'm going to have to ask them back some other time so we could keep going on this. But I wanted to ask you a question that we sort of brought up before a little bit. You know, even though you're raising a strong-willed child, at some point, every parent needs some me time. The question for me, I guess, would be, how did both of you handle this part of your relationship, both with each other and also with your son?
Well, I think it's critical because, as I said before, I think the child knows the weakness in the system and they try to get in between the two of you. And I think it's real important during that time because you're so anxious about your own parenting. And sometimes with that anxiety, you start to blame each other. And I think it's so critical not to blame each other and to be a team, to listen to each other. If you disagree on parenting, you know, listen to their ideas, try to affirm each other as a parent because you're feeling vulnerable and you feel like a failure. And that's exactly when the kid can come in and it can really strain the marriage. And we always, no matter how old our kids were, we always went out one night a week. And it just helped. We were pretty much on the same page about how to discipline. And I think another thing, affirm each other as a parent. You know, Kim, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm thinking, what have I done? Kim was very affirming as me as a mom, and I was always trying to affirm him as a dad. And I think it's so important because you don't get the feedback, you know, anyplace else. And just to remain strong as you can, you know. And honestly, that gives the kid more security. As much as they seem to be fighting it, they need the security that you're a team.
By you going out on those dates, in many ways, you gave Taylor and Kirsten the opportunity to really have more security because, you know, mom and dad like each other. They don't always agree. Life's not perfect.
Yeah.
But that date, to me, is a big deal. And I would always suggest to anybody who is listening that if they're not doing, really, literally, I say, I don't want to be legalistic on this, but a weekly date time, it doesn't have to be expensive, but just if they're not getting some us time as well as some me time.
Yeah.
What'd you do with the me time in the midst of this? You know, when you're raising kids, you know, life's busy. You know, how did you take time for yourselves?
Individually, I think that it became very important for us to rely on each other, that there would be times when each of us would handle Taylor for maybe a two-hour period. I would come home, Anne would be exhausted. She would give me that look like, okay, he's yours. And I quickly said, perhaps the best thing I can give her, the best gift at this time, is 2 hours of freedom. Right. And to take Taylor to the park, go play with him, and take him for a significant amount of time, and to be able to enjoy that time and not resent it, and you know, not say, oh gosh, I just can't handle it now. rather, you know, jump in there and say, okay, this is part of our routine. And we would quite often do that. We'd hand off because, you know, he did not slow down at any time during the day. And so when I would come home, Anne would be exhausted. I'd say, you know, it's my time to jump in there and give her a break. And then for our own selves, we took a fair amount of vacations, not long-term vacations, but maybe weekends away to where we could just rejuvenate, reconnect with each other, and not just feel like we were wardens at a prison, but that we were really excited about the family that we had and that we enjoyed the challenge and the opportunity to be parents.
What I appreciate you talking about this is because, you know, we really have to be proactive about this. We've got to set the calendar, even if it's, you know, 6 weeks from now, we're going to take one night away and grandma's going to come, or we're going to figure out a co-op thing where one of our friends do it, or however that works. But you've got to be proactive about it, because when you're in the midst of sometimes the battle, you're so tired and drained, it's one more thing to do.
Yeah, and you need to do it.
Yeah, but I see so many times parents just saying, well, you know, we're going to do that sometime. You know, back to the whole idea of strong-willed child, I get confused here, because sometimes when I see someone who's strong-willed, they look very confident. And yet at the same time, I notice that sometimes there's a self-image issue here. How do you help a strong-willed child have a positive, healthy self-image? You know, the Bible says that we're created in God's image. Well, how do you help that child have a strong self-image when a lot of times you're battling with them?
Yes, and I think that sometimes strong-willed children come across as having perhaps more impact, and they're looking for feedback in a way. And sometimes we can assume that they are confident when actually they're fragile, that they're looking for some sort of containment, or they're looking for, you know, am I fitting in? I think that you have to give your kid feedback. I think that there are kind of two mistakes that parents can make, is that you accept everything and everything is wonderful and beautiful. And that kind of feedback, I don't think, is realistic. Because over time, they're going to come up against a world that doesn't think everything that they do is great.
It's so darling.
So I think that over time, I think you have to introduce that reality principle. And I think you have to be willing to see them as good kids, and to take the time to reward them and say, hey, you did great. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to, you know, it has to be moving in the right direction.
And I think set up behaviors, you know, set up behaviors so they win. I mean, don't set up something unless they're going to win. It's like, if you play with your sister for 10 minutes, we're going to go get ice cream. You think you can do it for 10 minutes. And then I'm so proud of you. You're such a great kid. Because what they're doing is trying to get your attention. They've learned to get it negatively, but now turn it around so they're getting it positively.
Yeah. You know? And really, positive affirmation is so much stronger than shame-based parenting.
It is. It is.
And I appreciate you saying that in terms of they've got to win. And you know, if it's start with 2 minutes or 5 minutes,
so
or
they win.
You know, 10 minutes, but let them win. Yeah, I think that really is key. You know, I'm thinking about a single mom or maybe a single dad. What advice would you have for them with dealing with the demands of a strong-willed child? So they may be sitting here saying, yeah, that's fine, but you two are incredible and you've done this together. You know, what do you say to that single parent?
Well, you know, Jim, I think that's the hardest situation of a single parent, whether male or female, with a strong-willed child, that they are having to fill so many roles for. They're the only parent, perhaps, and with that, the number of situations that they have to deal with is legion. So it's I think involving other people in the child's life. I think that's where uncles come in and extended family, and I would hope that acquaintances, perhaps other family friends. Males, I think, if there's a single female, I think that you really need to have a strong male in the a child's life, whether male or female, because there's something that a man gives, which is a certain structure.
A smart person is going to bring, you know, a number of people around them to help them parent this this strong-willed child. And I think a single parent just has to be even more effective. We've got a woman in our office who named Mary who's just wonderful at that. She has brought other people around, and they're not replacing dad. They're not replacing her in some ways. But what they're doing is they're just coming around and being those role models and whatnot. And that is a very good idea and a very practical one as well. And from a mom's perspective, talk to the mother who's listening to us right now, and she's wondering if her son or her daughter might be a strong-willed child. How should she react if she finds out that she does, in fact, have a strong-willed child at home?
I'd say don't be discouraged. And I think if it's handled well, it's for a season. Ours was a short season. And I mean, the joy on the other side is huge. And if she thinks so, get the support. You know, get some safe friends. And I had a really fun friend, and we babysat each other's kids. And her daughter was strong-willed. And one time I said, well, I'm going to take the girls out to lunch. And if one of them disobeys or is not good, I'm going to bring them home and take the other one to a movie, but hopefully they're both going to go to the movie. So we went out to lunch, and I called. I go, I'm sorry, I need to bring one home. So I drive back home, and I said, you need to be available, you know, this whole afternoon. Well, surprising, I handed her Kirsten. Kirsten's eyes about popped out. I thought, you chose not to behave. You know, I think she was so smug, she was sure it was going to be her little buddy. And I drove off to the movie with the other little girl, and I thought, we couldn't have done that without the support, mm-hmm. you know? And it was a lesson learned, it was powerful, there was no yelling, there was no screaming. So I think with that, you know, find a support system, find some other women friends, share with each other. Mm-hmm. Extended family, if you have it, you know, follow through. But I think, don't be too discouraged. There's Bible studies, there's MOPS, there's so many great places to get the support. Women need the support. Moms need the support. And it's out there, you know, just find it, you know. Find women that you're safe with, that you can share your struggles with, because pretty much they've got them too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I hear you saying is there's hope for someone who is raising a strong-willed child.
Absolutely.
A lot of hope.
Because I think that a strong-willed child is going to make a big impact on society and is going to be a lot of fun later in life because they are committed. They are passionate about life. And I think if you are able to channel that, you have a child that's going to make a big impact. And it's a thrill. It's been a thrill in our lives to watch Taylor grow up, be a man, and be a leader. We knew that he was going to be a difficult child, but we knew also that channeled in the right direction, he could do great things.
Mm-hmm. Kim Storm, Ann Storm, thank you. You've made an impact on us today. Thank you so much for your great advice, and thank you for being strong with your family and giving us such wonderful pieces of input to really take home and start working right now. Mm-hmm. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Jim.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation, a two-parter with Dr. Kim Storm and his wife, Ann Storm, talking about help for parents of strong-willed children. And I'm happy to report, if you've had a chance to listen to both programs all the way through, Taylor's finished college. He was an intern with us homeward for a while, and he was probably one of the best interns we ever had. I'm just saying that, not just because his parents were in studio with us today. But if you have a strong-willed child, there is hope. And one of the things that Dr. Jim Burns stresses is looking at the season of life that the child is in and then trying to, you know, match your parenting style to that season. The Homeward Online Culture Brief is something that comes out every week. It's a huge help if you're a parent who realizes that the culture is moving. You just got hooked up on Facebook and your kids are already in Instagram and Tumblr. That's just a good example of how you need to keep pace. The Culture Brief comes out every Friday. It's a very, very helpful resource, and it's free. If you'd like to sign up for it, you can go to homeward.com and follow the prompts. That's HOMEWORD.com.
Dr. Kim Storm and Ann Storm, two parents who are really committed to helping other moms and dads of strong-willed children make a difference in the lives of their kids. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes good communication, but it can be done, and it's a great story. I want to conclude our time together by leaving you with the homeward of the day, and that word is consistency. I think we heard it throughout the last 2 days with Kim and Ann Storm. Kids need consistency in their lives, especially strong-willed children. And that's why it's so important that they don't get the mixed message from us parents about things like what's acceptable behavior and what isn't. I think about what Ann Storm said earlier in the program. She said that she knew that she was getting through to her strong-willed son, Taylor, when he started making friends. People actually wanted to hang out with him. Well, kids wanted to be friends with him. Adults really liked having him around. Well, that's important because a lot of times strong-willed kids can be pretty obnoxious. Now, I know it's not easy to be consistent with a kid who has a tenacity of a jackhammer, but that consistency is going to lay the foundation for the security that strong-willed child needs to give up his or her felt need to challenge authority at every turn. Okay, like I mentioned before, I'm all for parents having a conduct contract for strong-willed kids, and that's why we have a sample one in our resource center, and here's Roger to tell you how to get a copy of that free conduct contract for strong-willed kids.
Very easy to do. Just go to homeward.com if you're not there already. Hit the Articles and Media tab, and once you hit that tab, then a little Get Answers box comes up. That's our search function. Just write conduct contract in there, or Burns Family Conduct, and it'll come right up, and you can take a look at it, you can download it, you can push it along to your, you can push along to your spouse if he or she needs to take a look at it that way, and then just go ahead and put that in practice. Either use that as your contract, or you can use it as a model and create your own contract. I mean, different families have different needs, but whatever you do, the key word for today has been intentionality, Make sure that if you're dealing with an issue with a strong-willed child, that you don't do this by circumstance and chance. Be intentional. And by the way, thank you so much for your prayers and faithful financial support of the Ministry of Homeward. We can't do this without you. You can give a gift online, by the way, through our secure website at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.